Moncrief on News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. It is time once again to solve all of your problems. Declan Buckley and a woman who's just imposed her own 100% tariff on bullshit. Mary McAvoy is here with us.
Imported bullshit.
Imported bullshit.
You know, homegrown is fine.
Homegrown is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mary wants to support in the right native place. Homegrown bullshit. Bullshit. Yes. Irish bullshit for the Irish. There you go. We've just been taken off the air, being told. Right. Here's your first question. A few weeks ago, my office ended up going for after work drinks on a Friday. And I slept with my colleague. I'm assuming there was more events in between those two things happening. He's been my office crush for a while, and it's been very flirty with lots of messages outside of work and the odd raunchy text and photo. After all the build-up, I sort of expected that something would come out of it. But after I spent the night at his, he's completely blanked me. I hadn't expected he would text me so we could do it again or at least a polite text the next day. And instead, it's been complete silence. I thought we had a good night together, so I'm pretty confused. I know it was drunken sex, but I thought we had a connection. I'm really disappointed and feel really hurt. We don't work too closely, but we are in the same office. I've tried to work from home since that happened, but it's pretty hard being in the same building as somebody who you've been naked with and who now won't even look at you. How should I handle this?
Get back into that office. Hold your head up high.
Yeah.
He's a gobshite.
Yeah.
And I think raise your standards a little bit for how you start a relationship, I think, because, I don't know, raunchy texts and all that kind of thing. If she just wanted to have a one night stand with this guy and raunchy texts and everything else, but she seems to want it to have been something else. And I wouldn't start from there at all if I was you.
Yeah.
You know, I think just get back, as I say, get back into the office, smile your biggest smile, just and just don't let him away with it. It is, if I may say so, and I've probably been accused of being sexist, but in my day that was classic male behaviour, like classic behaviour of just reel them in, have your way, and then tatty bye. So I would also really, if you're thinking, now if you just want raunchy sex, that's grand. But if you want to have a relationship, I think a little bit less raunchy texts and more genuine communication is the way to go. It's just my way of thinking. Over to you, Declan.
Now, if it wasn't for drunken sex, the Irish would probably be extinct as a
race.
That's
true. That's why I was thinking. That's why I laughed.
Psychoanalysts would be out of work.
Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, yes, I hear what you're saying, and I guess maybe there was a kind of an approach issue there for what she was doing versus what he was going to respond to. I also think that after, like, a one-night stand, I think it's really important that the lines of communication stay open, because if they don't, this is exactly the kind of cringe scenario that's going to develop. It was her, you know, having that kind of a fling with somebody from work was already going to create the problem. So I'm just worried about how far in the future this woman is thinking when she's acting. There's a sort of delusion around what she thought was going to happen.
Yes.
And then, you know, this weird, like, absolving herself of any responsibility for communicating while at the same time accepting all of the kind of guilt and the shame and blaming him for it is a very easy way out for her.
Mm.
I think she does work in the same office. I thought when you started first, you were get back into the office. I agree with that completely. Mm. Acting like there's something to be embarrassed about is going to compound any feeling
of
cringe for her.
Yeah.
So she needs to decide what it is that she wants. If it's at a minimal, she just wants to remove the cringe, that's entirely in her control. She just walks in there and, if possible, has a chat with him on the QT and goes, oh, you know, whenever, I thought we'd be in touch with whatever, but we weren't. Whatever, that's a choice that happened. She's equally responsible for that, by the way. I think this weird scenario that's developed is that they were out on the Friday night, had a few drinks, had a drunken fumble, and then the next day, deathly silence from both parties. And then one side is blaming the other, and you don't know what the other person is thinking. And then that can go on forever, because silence is very easy to maintain, particularly when you haven't seen each other. So she's just letting the whole thing play over in her head, and she's accepting all kinds of social burdens and guilts that may or may not apply in this scenario. And I think she has to decide what it is she wants. Did she think it was going to go further? Well, as you've already pointed out, sometimes there are Jack the Lads out there who aren't intent on taking it further.
Yeah, even from her description, it doesn't sound like he was...
He wouldn't be good material, though.
Yeah, but like the odd raunchy text and photo, she doesn't say we had long, interesting conversations at any point. There was none of that. Plus, I wonder, is she missing something out? If she had built it up in her head that, we're going to be a couple, you know, like when she was then back in his place... Mm. Was there a conversation about, you know, kids? You know, something that
I heard. Oh, they went there for two drinks and then they're back at his house. No, I don't think talking about children
she
is good.
She spent the night in his place.
Okay, but
So maybe she said something and now he's going, oh God, I didn't think it was going to be this.
Say it to her.
He's run away, basically.
But if I was thinking, if she was going to go back into the office and, as I said, hold your head up high, you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe your interpretation of it was not what it was. But if you're going to talk to him, I wouldn't go, please, can I have a chat with you? I'd say, what the hell do you think you're doing? Like, you know, don't blank me. We spent the night together.
But
don't
as I said, she's not communicating with him. Has she texted him and he hasn't replied? In which case, yes, absolutely, she's got every reason to go grow up, whatever his name is. But if it's that the next day, her compound of like, oh, what's going to happen next? And a little bit of, you know, post-event guilt meant that she didn't make the first thing, then it's kind of a comedy of errors now.
Is, but also I think we're saying a lot about what she should have done and all of that.
But she's the one
who wrote
the letter.
We mustn't forget that he's been a bit of an A.H. as well, like more than a bit of an A.H. Like he needs to kind of...
Okay, but when it comes to, you know, when it comes to like a drunken fumble, you know... A lot of one-night stands are completely consensual by both parties, engaging in the event, knowing full well that it's probably not going to lead to a conversation about whether they're going to have kids or even a conversation of any kind ever again. So from that point of view, he and she have been kind of flirting, and this kind of... You pointed that out too, Mary, that the level and the type of chat they were having was flirtatious and a bit kind of... cheeky. It wasn't taking the conversation. It wasn't a serious
like,
kind of
books do you read?
But I also don't believe necessarily that kind of flirtation and the kind of sexy text can't flip over and become a much more meaningful relationship later on. But you have to play the game with intent.
Yeah.
And you have to go, yeah, we had, you know, whatever, a fumble last night, but I'm still going to keep talking to you. This running away going, now it's your turn.
But I think she just feels...
It's not very grown up.
You know, it isn't grown up, but at the same time, it seems almost like, if I may do the age thing again, but it seems almost like a problem a woman of my age would have had when they were younger, because there was less equality in the whole exchange, the bedroom exchange. Do you know what I mean? And women often did go to bed with someone who had no intention of ever contacting them again, but in the hope that they would. And I think that's what happened there. And I do have a lot of sympathy for her, but I think this is an opportunity for her to grow a pair of ovaries now and get in there and say, you know, can we talk about what happened? And don't wheedle and don't go, I was hurt, or don't just can we talk about what happened? What's your attitude to what happened? I'd just like to know. And then take it from there.
Yeah, but also now he hasn't texted her and her first choice was a text saying let's do it again. So that hasn't happened, obviously. Yeah. So but like if she hasn't been in the office, she hasn't seen him.
That's it, yeah.
So I suppose that as a first thing, she needs to kind of put herself in front of him and see, does he say hello to her even?
Yeah.
And if he does, then,
didn't she say there was some kind of awkwardness, or was it just that he didn't text her?
She doesn't see him that much anyway in work, and she's working from home, avoiding him.
Yeah.
So you know,
get back in there first. Get back in there, and there's plenty more fish in the sea as well. So just get back in there and don't be too mealy mouthed about it either.
Yeah. Okay. Now a lot of comment on this. A fair few people saying, why are we assuming it's a woman? That sent us in the email. It could have been a man, but that's Declan for you, notoriously homophobic.
He is, he's dreadful. I was going to report you, actually.
Oh, Christ, is a one-night stand not just that anymore? Why so much thought over it? Well, obviously,
she didn't want a one-night stand.
But she this is what the problem is, and this is I didn't get to make this point. Is that, you know, like if you're flirting with somebody and then in the moment you're in, you know, Wetherspoons and you're 6 pints to the wind, and then you're going,
you deserve everything you get. Then
I know. I'm trying to make I'm trying to make it sound as rotten as it probably was. And then, and then you end up going back to his bedsit in Dorset Street. And then you go, will I stay over? I will, yeah. Is this a date? I think so. And then the next day, you're both living in the kind of, you know, the hangover of the actual alcoholic sense and the hangover of a kind of a, you know, the sexual sense. And then you're left working, well, how do we go on from here? You know, this is the reason why your mammy told you not to sleep with them on the first date.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, you need to get your hooks in there first. And I think in this instance, she's now going, okay, well, you know, I have no cards on the bargaining table now.
And go, oh, no, I think she should get in there. I think her future self would thank her for that. I really do.
did either of you guys consider the sex might not have been great? Just saying, but that's no reason not to text her, at least. You know, I had fun last night or something like that. Is it possible he feels the exact same way? Maybe.
Well, that's kind of what I was talking about. Is I was pointing out that in you know, in a 2025 scenario where, you know, we're still trying to catch on to the last piece of equality that Trump hasn't destroyed, that men and women should be able to kind of just communicate openly and go, that was fun. And, you know, be adult about it, but also be a little bit political about it. Don't put too much into your, you know, will I see you again? You don't need to be that forthcoming, but you can imply it.
Yeah.
As much as silence implies the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, sending a text. And again, you know, is it, did he end up going, did something happen in his personal life? Is he off, like, traveling the world?
Well, she didn't want to go into the office. She could. Yes.
Oh my God, says Donald. Such double standards. Your guest literally said it's okay for women to kick off a one night stand if she wants to with some flirty text, but it's not okay for a man to do so. Well, I don't think that's the issue.
I don't think we said that.
Jill says, tell Mary McAvoy that women are well able to use men for sex. Don't hear her calling that woman a bitch.
No, you didn't call her a bitch.
I don't know.
Is there a delay on
Jill,
this line?
Maybe Jill's listening.
Excuse me, I'm going to answer that. Excuse me, if you listened to what I said, I actually was on her side. Yeah. I never called her a bitch, so you're a bitch. Bye.
Yeah. There you go. That's another listener lost.
Wow.
I've always struggled. What happened to your fingers?
What?
What happened to your fingers?
I broke my finger in the gym boxing.
Okay, good.
That's another reason why you don't know. That's a good answer.
I think it's broken. You should see the other guy.
I think probably why I'm so effusive now is that the painkillers have kicked in. It was absolutely agonising.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Have your finger over the dump button there. Mary can say anything in the next 10 minutes.
That'd be very good. Except calling that poor woman a bitch. I'm so sorry.
I've always struggled with my weight, and I was the only heavy one in my family growing up. My mother has always made digs at me to eat healthily, but genetically, I'm just built differently. And no matter how many yo-yo diets I did, I always gained weight back. I spoke to my doctor. They recommended a weight loss injection, so I decided to take the plunge. I've lost a considerable amount of weight, and I'm shocked at how differently people are treating me. I'm in my early 40s. I'd accepted my figure and my weight. My husband loves me regardless of what size I am, and my kids are happy and healthy. My husband is supportive of my decision. I haven't told my mother or my sister that they are convinced that I've been flat out at the gym, a bit like Mary McAvoy baiting the heads off people, and keep saying how proud they are of me. They are naturally slim and just wouldn't understand it. For me, Ozempic is not a shortcut, but I know they would judge me if I told them I was on it. People in work keep mentioning how well I look. Should I fess up or keep quiet?
Yikes. Okay, well, you know, I'm going to have to come from the privilege position of not really having had a weight problem in my life. So I don't really get the kind of the core scenario, but I do know that that society that we live in kind of does treat overweight people, you know, really badly. And that kind of, it's a self-fulfilling kind of circle that this kind of Ozempic industry is capable of taking advantage of. Yeah. Because while the Ozempic scenario, and you know, this woman has alluded to it a couple of times here, where she talks about her physiological difference from her sister and her mother, which meant that they've always had a slimmer experience than she has. I don't know how much of a difference that is, because sometimes, you know, it's psychological kind of scenario where, you know, you're the heavy one, blonde. And it's like, no, I'm not. Actually, we're exactly the same weight. Get over yourself. It's so imbued with psychological problems in there that the weight itself is kind of almost a side story. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
There is a health issue, of course, and if her doctor is involved in the conversation, that's good to know, rather than that she's buying some stuff off the internet, and, you know, that wouldn't be good. I do think, though, that there's an interesting psychological aspect to the bit where she doesn't want to tell her mum and her sister how this outcome has been achieved. And that says something to me. It says something to me that her end result, the end outcome, is less for herself than it is some kind of narrative that she wants to share with other people. And that's a problem. Again, I completely understand why it's a problem. I understand that, you know, we live in a society that just judges people on what they look like all the time. And sometimes it's kind of fun to kind of, you know, push back against that and go, well, I'm a winner in one scenario in that respect. I don't believe that she owes her mum and her sister the truth. I don't think that's necessarily any of their business, because they're engaged with the same kind of nonsense that's driving this whole thing in the first place.
Absolutely, because they're making out that there's some... It's almost like if you're a bit overweight, it's a moral failing.
Yes.
Whereas they just happen to be the size they are. They haven't done anything
exactly.
to earn
it. And that's why I led out with saying that I've always been skinny. So I've always been a beneficiary in this worldview that goes, oh, you're real skinny. And I go, well, you know, that's great. But if you knew what I was eating and drinking last night, you would know I didn't accomplish this. Maybe I was born with this. Yeah. You know, that kind of scenario. So from that point of view, there's a lot in it. There was a really interesting documentary that Catherine Thomas did on RTE a couple of weeks back about this whole process and about how the industry's kicking off. There's so much about it that we don't know, and there's so many side effects to Ozempic that it means that these kind of drugs don't necessarily work always in the way that people expect. It's not for everyone. So if it's working well for this person and it's healthy and it's giving her, you know, in the short term, like a kind of a physical as well as a kind of a mental boost, I'm on her side. I go, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
But I do think that she needs to kind of contextualize it within all of the other triggers that she's facing.
Well, I think it's like, I'm the opposite. I've always and I even question why I use the word struggle with my weight. But I've always been except for a few years. And I was just thinking about, and I think this lady might understand this, any thing that I remember in my life, I will always remember the weight I was. I will always I will always remember what size I was. I will always remember. It was always that. And I think just to make it generalize it rather than just talk to, and I will address this lady now in a minute, but like, the great thing that was happening before Ozempic was that body inclusion was becoming a real thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think anyone who looked at the Oscars this year, and I'm not skinny shaming anybody, I'm really not, but there was some very dangerously thin people on that, you know, and you can see it more. Apparently the size zero is back now in the couture and all of that. And that's like, if you're skinny, and I would say it myself because of my experience, if you're lucky enough to be skinny, maybe other people don't think that, but if you're lucky enough to be skinny, that's great. But I think people who have weight and don't mind should be like, like I could Beth Ditto or Lizzo's, I think Lizzo did the Ozempic thing. But like, all sorts of bodies are okay if they're healthy. Now, just to go back to that lady, it's your body. And if you're happy with the body you have now, I was just very interested in the way she said, it's amazing how people treat me since I've lost the weight.
Mm.
And I just wonder about that. But like, I'm not saying gain weight and, you know, whatever. Whatever you feel is right for you is right for you. And I agree with Declan. I don't think you need to explain anything.
No.
Just, I'm in the gym. It's none of your business anyway. It's none of your business.
Because those people are, you know, whether they're consciously or not, those people are engaging with the whole of the, you know, let's call it an industry.
Yes.
The kind of, you know, the aesthetics industry. Oh. And it's all related to that idea of like, you know, this is the idea of what perfection is, you're not that.
Yes.
And, you know, but there's a way through it, and it normally involves money changing hands.
Yes.
And it's all, yeah, okay, fine. It's psychologically damaging, though. And again, it relates to that idea that you said, body shapes come in loads of different types and shapes and forms. There's a bit of a messy thing around it about, you know, what does a healthy body actually look like on the outside? What does it actually look like on the inside? And that's where the exploration needs to be. It's not whether, you know, there's these kind of quick fixes of making everybody look like they're on a catwalk in or a red carpet event in Hollywood. Yeah. I'm not here for that. I don't think that that's going to end up with people being happy. And in it, again, you know, you can kind of tell when these people are on the event because it kind of does stuff to their faces and their skin. And,
it does. You know, and just, can I just address the girl again, just to say, as again, as somebody who's always tried to control their weight, I you were saying about your the diet wasn't diet binge. What was it? It was
she was yo-yo dieting.
Dieting. I'm sure because you went to the doctor and you got it prescribed by the doctor that you're getting good advice about food. Because just because you're taking Ozempic doesn't mean that you can just, you know, you must eat healthily. And maybe then at a time, if you can get your body used to that and you can get the neural pathways growing and eating healthily, then maybe you won't need Ozempic. But if you do, you do. But look, best of luck to you, whatever you do.
Yeah.
That's what I say. And don't let them shame you way or the other.
Them. My younger sister is currently in a relationship with a man I used to date about 5 years ago. Our situation was short-lived, but my sister is now long-term with him. He's a good man, and I generally support the relationship. However, the problem is this. My sister and I are very close and always want to talk about the ins and outs of their relationship. She often asks for my advice. She's even asked me for sex advice about what he likes and doesn't like. I find it uncomfortable, but at the same time, she's my sister and we're best friends. Last week, she told me that he had confided to her that he has had just 8 lovers in his life, but he told me he'd had over 20. Now, I know he's lying to one of us, but I don't want to break anyone's trust. While at the same time, I've an urge to protect my sister if he is lying. How do I handle a sensitive situation like this without alienating her?
just the whole idea of asking your sister what he likes
is a bit weird.
And look,
you know, here's the thing, right? There's whatever about his Benjamin
Button. He loves it when you pay for everything.
Whatever about his kind of Benjamin Button life, you know, sex life, where the number of people he's had sex with is actually reducing the more sex he has.
Maybe he can't remember.
Maybe he's just like deciding that people no longer qualify because what they did wasn't actually sex, you know? Because maybe, you know.
It was a one night stand. He never texted her back. So that's not the same thing.
That's what he was. Yeah.
Or maybe what he did with the sister that rode in behind the bus shed or the bike shed in sixth year wasn't really sex. It was just that the nuns made you think it was. Look, the bottom line I have here for her is that who does she want to protect? If she wants to protect her sister, she has to assume that her sister is in, you know, full control of her life and that it's actually working out with this guy. And maybe this guy is actually telling her more truthful things than he's told her in the past. You know, when you're younger, you might say nonsense. And at the end of the day, I think the most mature, the most kind of kind perspective to take would be for her just to assume that he lied to her back in the day and that it's not really that important because it isn't really that important. No. It's none of her business. And that she should stop acting like she has some sort of inside track in somebody because she went out with them for, you know, whatever amount of time that was 5 years ago, because these people have moved on and they're happy together and she has the power to just be kind of...
And I think there has to be boundaries around it. I think there has to be boundaries around what you talk to your sister about now. You know, it isn't your affair. And you know, he was with you for a short time, he's with her for a longer time. So maybe he's much more invested. And that's nothing to do with you or not, you know, but he's obviously long term with his sister. So you're going, you know, the whole thing of 20, 28, you know, fellas too when they were younger, and you know you can mature a lot. Was it 5 years? I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah, she said five years.
Mature a lot in 5 years. Yeah, you know you can go. Oh yeah, well I slept with about 20 people, you know, and actually said no, actually it was about 8. You know, that's the kind. I think that's when people. Grow.
Why is 8 bad?
Yeah,
I think it's some sort of minimum threshold.
It depends on where you work.
I think 8's quite good. Actually.
And there's nothing weird about it. He was going out with her and then he was going out with her sister. I'm getting the slight ick off that. That's
it's
just
a slight ick, or maybe it's just a small pond and, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
But in that instance, I think, look, as well, is that there's a certain kind of territorialness that's going on around here. She needs to back off on the whole thing because it's like, so what? The sister is probably telling you about what's going on in her current relationship because she's trying to just mark out the fact that this is my partner. Mm. Nothing to do with you. So I'm actually going to just talk openly about my partner because I'd rather have that.
She's asked her, sorry.
Yeah.
The sister has asked this girl about his sex, to do with
it. Yeah, but they're just having conversations. And she's gone,
would she not know herself anyway at this stage? If it's all serious.
I just think that the sister that wrote this letter in has to not act like so kind of superior in the situation and actually, you know, consider that.
Yeah, what she should do is tell the sister that, you know, I can't tell you what he likes, but you should say to him this sentence: what did the other 20 women do? And see what his reaction is. Just to see if you catch him out that way.
He said they were all women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point.
Very good. Oh, yeah.
Barbara and
I woke again.
Mary and Deck, back to the fold. Thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.